The more you understand about this, hopefully it will help you to understand why people behave in a certain way. Alright? We're going to be talking about mental development in children. We need to understand what children think, why they think certain ways, what are some ways we need to talk to them, how do we talk to them to teach them, okay? Another one is spiritual development of children. Now, there have been research done on children of how they respond to faith. And it's interesting, children when they are younger respond to faith very well, but when they get older, something changes in them, okay? And as a church, we will be wise to understand why some children walk away from God when they get older, okay? The reason, there's also motor development and fine motor, and I'm not going to talk about that because spiritual development and mental development has very close, what we call correlation, it's very closely related because how we think and how we receive information and how we process information will affect who we are. Alright? So these two. Then afterward, I will actually look at the origin of personality and behavior from the Bible. Why do people behave the way they behave? Alright? Those who have been in the June camp, you know that I'll touch a little bit on that. But I want to bring it up again because it is so important for us as adults to understand how did we become the way we are? And then the last part will be what to train in a child. Okay, I'm going to highlight some key points of training in the children, how to do it, and I'm just thinking whether or not I ask Sister Felicia, we bring Ezra. We're going to use him as an example afterwards. But we'll see how it goes, okay, whether or not we can actually carry that out. But before we go on, let's have a word of prayer, alright, before we go through this. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before your holy presence tonight. I thank you for those people who have come. Lord, we want it to be beneficial. We want it to be a blessing. Lord, most of all, we want it to glorify you. Father, there are families represented here, Lord, that perhaps have gone through things in life and things within the family and things outside of the family that has been a big effect on them. And Lord, many times we struggle for answers. And yet we thank you, Lord, that the answers are always in thy word. And today we want to find out, Lord, from you and from some of the studies that have been done, that God, we might have a good overall view of what to train, how to train our child. And for those who have gone past childhood, perhaps, maybe they're an adult or a young adult or even teenagers, Lord, I pray that tonight we will begin to understand and look back and say, oh, no wonder, that's why I behave the way I behave. But more than anything, Lord, help us to remember that the reason we train a child, Lord, is so that they will become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, Father, we pray that tonight you will take this session for those who are still on their way, bring them quickly, that God, we might have a good grasp of this. And so, Lord, Father, I pray, if there's something that we need to do in our lives to change, as a response to thy word tonight, I ask, Lord, you will speak to us in a special way. God, I know those people whom you have brought today, Lord, are specially chosen to be here. That God, you will touch them in a special way. Speak to us in a mighty way, Lord, only through your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. I'm going to touch on mental development, okay? How many of you, I think some in the schools, perhaps you have touched on mental development of children, okay? Mental development of children generally is done by this guy called Piaget. Piaget is, I think he's a Swiss psychologist, okay? What he did was, he didn't go into a lot of explanation, but he actually did what we call observation of children, okay? Observation of children. He recorded those observations, and he came up with four different stages, okay? For children, how they think. And it's important for us because some of the things that we have been taught by our parents or how we should respond to children, a very typical one, for example, I'll just use that. Let me go through the stages further, right? There are four stages in the whole area of how human beings think, okay, based on observation. I must make a clarification here. These are observations of a man who has been dedicated himself to the study. Okay? Apparently, he came up with this when he observed his three children as they grew up and he recorded those things. Alright? As much as we are taking things like this for us to understand better of how children think, I want to say they are not concrete, meaning that they are not absolute truth. It's just someone's observations. Okay, and we can use observations to help us, alright, to understand a little bit better. Now, beginning with 0 to 2 years old, children go through this thing called the sensory motor stage, okay? You all remember this, right? Right? When they're younger, our children will put everything into the mouth, right? Right? Now people still put their things into the mouth, right? Okay? But what do parents usually do when a baby puts their hands into the mouth? Hey, don't put your hand in the mouth. Dirty, hey, don't. The reason why children put their fingers and things into the mouth, and everything you give is like there, huh? You give a pen, it automatically goes into the mouth. You know why? The mouth is the strongest learning organ in a child when they are young. And if you stop them from putting things into their mouth, it means you're stopping them from learning. Huh? Yes. When a child touches some of you like, you know, when children, when you carry them close, what do? Your face. You put a 3 or 4 month old, I mean a 6 month old baby, and put the, I should have given you pictures. You put a baby in front of you, what do they usually do? They touch your glasses, and then you actually spank them, right? Actually, they're not being naughty, you know. They're just exploring. Because they're in what we call the sensory motor stage, they learn by touching. Huh? Okay? So when baby, so understand this, for the younger one, this is important for children's ministry. Next time when we have infant, we cannot stop them from touching. In fact, we need to provide a safe environment whereby they can explore and learn. Okay? And so, does that make sense? So they might touch and all that. The problem comes when they start to walk. Because they are still in that touching stage, what they will do is go and touch everything and mess up your whole house. And that's why parents will lock up everything when their children are young. And that's why I think my mom will say, you want to go to the toilet, you've got no time, right? You got to chase your children. Why? But actually, that's the normal way they learn. That's a normal way of learning for the child. Right? That's the sensory motor stage. The second one goes from 2 to 7 years old. A child begins his first word at about 12 months. By 24 months, a child should have about 200 words. 200 words, okay? So they can actually say, Papa, come, drink milk, all this kind of thing. Jeremiah didn't speak until he was 2, okay? There was very little words that come up, but when he started talking, the whole sentence came out. That means that he was already absorbing and thinking through. But, okay, so in this stage from 2 to 7, there's this thing called the pre-operational stage. From 2 to 4, there's increased use of verbal representation, but speech is egocentric. One of the biggest words that children use at this stage is no. 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 They keep saying no, alright? Because what they're trying to do is, you must understand, sometimes, how many parents will say that, when children say no, we know they mean yes. Sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes. You more or less know. Okay? And sometimes when children actually challenge you with language when they're younger, it's not because they're very smart. It's because they're just testing what is the response of your words, because it's new to them. Okay? So that's 2 to 4. But from, okay, this is the time also they wrote here, is the beginning of what we call symbolic play. Symbolic play means when a child is younger, the brain is not as developed. And so when they play, they just touch. Okay? You know, children like to do this. Let's pretend this is a toy. The children will do this. And maybe that's your favorite vase. It's scream, ah! You know, for the child, then you will spank the child, right? The child don't know why he's spanked. Because what he is doing is he is exploring what is the quality of this favorite vase of yours. Piang! Oh, it breaks. It may have cost you $1,000, okay? But it breaks. Alright? They have no idea, okay? But when they get to 2 years plus, their brain begins to be a little bit more symbolic, meaning that they can look at this and say, this is a pen, but this also can be an aeroplane. They begin to represent things outside. Okay? That's why children, I remember when Jojoy was 3 years old, I was sitting out in the hall, Mr. Joy, when she was 3 years old, she would take the bath towel, she would take her toy scissors, and then she's a hairdresser. They're trying to cut my limited hair. Okay? Well, that's called symbolic play, pretend play. Because they begin to conjure up images inside of them, and they practice that. Parents who stop them from doing that is actually saying, don't play. It's actually telling them, don't think. Okay? Now, after this, we got live examples. Okay? So, for the one that just came in, she's what? 2, right? But Ruth is how? About 2 years old. Ruth is about 1 plus, okay. So Ruth will be in the sensory motor stage, okay, after we We have some live demo if you want. Okay, from 4 years old onwards, speech becomes more social. Because children's speech becomes a little bit more, they become better at speech. And so what they do is they use it to ask questions. And they sometimes, they can come up with, they will say things like, I sleepted already. I eated already. Have you heard that before? Okay. I drinked already. Okay, I drank already, right? So it's interesting because in the development of the language centers in children, they automatically, without any help, they can actually link the past tense. So you can say, I runned already or something like that. It's funny, but you know, as they grow older, they begin to write, no, it's not runned, it's ran, okay? It's not eaten, it's ate, okay? Alright, but some children in Chinese language homes will continue eaten for a long time because they have not heard that in terms of practice in their life. Okay, why Jaro used to do that? Again? It's competition, why? Okay, never mind. Let's not be too personal here. Okay, then from 4 to 7, it becomes more social, less egocentric. In other words, it's not so much focused on ourselves. Because interestingly, from 4, 5 years old, children begin to have to go to school. So the language they use actually has to be used outside. Okay? So from primary 1 onwards, primary 1 to 12, is begin a concrete operation stage. This stage is important because children begin to be able to organize things. They begin to categorize things. Oh, these are animals. These are utensils. This is auto. This is transportation system, etc. Okay, and so the children is able to actually reason with you sometimes. One of the problems they have is what I call a reversal of thought, meaning that I think in primary school maths they have like 2 + 1 = 3. What is 1 + 2? The children will think like crazy for 2 hours. Have you experienced that before? 2 + 1 = 3, but you put 1 + 2, they cannot reverse. Does it make sense? They're very concrete. I was doing a talk in ACS school, all right? I was doing a talk for the primary twos, all right? And some of them, being concrete, they I would just say this, I told them, your brain is like a post office. And of course, one smart aleck from that, wow, your brain so big. Okay, just trying to be funny. Okay. But the idea of concrete is, okay, I just kind of, okay, trying to be funny, so I just ignore that. Okay, now moving towards 12 years old, it becomes formal, in our thought, it becomes more abstract. Okay, you not only just look at what is there, you begin to inquire, okay, why? You begin to ask why. That's why teenagers onwards, that's why next week onwards we're going to talk about bring up teenagers in the home. It's a totally different kettle of fish because the way they think is totally different. Okay? They use abstract thought, they challenge, they ask questions. What used to be taught to parents is no longer the norm because I've learned new stuff. Okay, I need to challenge that, etc. It's important from a spiritual perspective because this is where whatever standards that you used to have is now being challenged. Especially if spiritual standards being kept in the family. And when the child grows up to be 13, 14, 15, and then when he see all his teenage friends say, hey, how come they're totally different from me? And then they begin to, as teenagers, you want to actually kind of blend in. And so you go back and ask, Papa, why must I do this? Why must I do that? Why must I do that? And parents, listen, if you don't give a satisfactory answer, you will lose your teenager. Okay? Alright, any questions? So this is the mental development in children, just a very brief one, very quick one. Okay, the next one is spiritual development. Now this one is important because I said there has been research done with regards to spiritual development. I just want to highlight some key points. You will find that it's kind of a hodgepodge of things put together. I'm not very good at formatting. But I will go through it in somewhat detail so that we can understand, especially with parents with children. It is very important because you can pitch your teaching to your children at that level. Okay, the teenagers one, I'll deal with it next week. Okay, alright, in infancy, it's the beginning of a spiritual journey. The child learns spiritual things from the moment he is born because every person is a spiritual person. Does it make sense? Okay, but Brother Johnny, if you look at the brain of the child, the connections are very, very sparse. Okay? But as they grow and as they begin to respond to the environment, they make connections all the time from day one. Okay? So, in spiritual development of children in infancy is the beginning of their spiritual journey. The aim at this stage is to bond with the child, and this is important. At a young age, it is very important for a child to know what it means to trust someone. Okay? There has been research done about children in institutions. What they did for the younger ones, I can't remember who the researcher was, but what they did was basically for a group of children, all they did was fed the children and then leave the children alone so the children can cry, they can do all they want. And the children actually died, some of them, quite early. Whereas for another group of children, they actually put, it's interesting, they actually put the children, all they did was put soft cloth, you know, soft cloth, kind of like a pillow or something, and because of the warmth and all that, they actually were a little bit more mentally stronger. Okay, so at the infancy, we talk about infancy means 0 to 18 months. Okay, the learning of basic trust as a young child prepares the child to learn to trust God. Someone, if the child cannot trust someone that is closest to him in the family, there is no way a child can ever learn to trust God whom he cannot see. Parents, do you realize what an important platform we are at from the beginning of life? Many people have this thinking, oh, my child is still young, I put in childcare, I go and work first. 5 years after, then I stay at home. That is too late already. A child's character is formed by 5 years old. 5 years old. Okay? Alright? So, the first part, 0 to 18 months, a child have to bond. Adults like to bond also, right? Like go barbecue to bond and all that kind of thing. But this bonding is essential because it prepares the platform for trusting in God. Okay? Any questions? Tell me if you have any questions, alright? The next stage is 2 to 3. I'll just try to go through a little bit faster because it's a lot, alright? From 2 to 3 years old, the child believes everything he hears or sees. Everything, okay? If you tell him this is right hand, he'll believe you. This is your right hand. Is this your right hand? This is your left hand, okay? I saw it firsthand. I shared before, my pastor's daughter in Australia actually was playing a fool with another church member's daughter. Her name is... we call her B, right? B, this is your right hand. You know what? For the next few weeks, it's my right hand. And then I look at this 16-year-old American girl and say, look what you've done! You know, you've corrupted this child's thinking. This is not your right hand, it's your left hand. The child believes everything. You see, can you see? If the parents have already been there and built a trusting relationship, you will continuously, as you teach them about God, okay, because at this time, here, believes everything he sees, therefore it's the time to start teaching all the right things. Don't try to tell them all the variables. Just go straight to the right thing, okay? If this is the way to brush your teeth, this is the correct way to brush your teeth. If as parents we always have the wrong way of brushing teeth, go and learn the right way and teach your children. Alright, a lot of parents, let's put it this way, we have learned a lot of bad habits. If we want to build a firm foundation for our children, we need to learn the right things, okay? Now, because thinking is concrete, they cannot understand ideas like lost sheep and metaphors, but simple concepts like love and crying and sadness can be understood as long as they can see it happening. Like, for example, you say, why is Mimi crying? Oh, but tears in her. Why is Mimi crying? Oh, because she's sad. They can actually... But anything more abstract, they cannot handle. Okay, important for Sunday school teachers. When a three-year-old comes, you don't come and say, oh, God is love, you see. There's this wonderful creation out there. It's like, no wonder the children are all running around. Because it's woo-hoo. Alright, okay. So for the chapel teachers as well, you cannot just read. The children must see. Otherwise, you lose them. You will lose them. Okay, just for information, a child at 2 years old, you know what's the attention span for a child at 2 years old? 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And there's a difference between attention span and concentration span. Many of you are paying attention, but you may not be concentrating. Agree? Your eyes is just looking at me, But you're not concentrating on what I'm saying. Concentration is when things are going in. Jara? Okay? Does that make sense? There's a difference. Concentration span maximum for even adults is 25 minutes. Remember, Johnny? Well, why? So what happens is that, you know, I give illustrations, right? Okay, these are some of the tricks of the trade for those who want to be preachers, okay? Up to a certain time, you start with you give a lively story. So people kind of retune their current extends for another 25 minutes. Okay? All right, that's what you do. Okay. You can start simple praying. Okay? You can understand, the child can understand most children's stories. That's why I'm thankful for Lydia. From the time the children can sit down with her, by the age of 3, you should have finished all the Bible stories in a color book. Okay? He does not understand concepts such as death and hell. Alright, say, so, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus, you die and go to hell, it's like. Okay, children won't understand. Alright? Can know the story of Jesus from beginning to end. You can start reading the picture Bible daily to your child, okay? Any questions? Okay, moving on, spiritual development. Okay, just a little bit small, but I'll read, okay? By age of 4 and 5, the child can begin to think of God in a personal way, okay? Like a friend, because now the child has language concepts, and the child is able to attach what she sees, like mommy is. It's interesting, a child at age of 3 years old will still say, this is Ezra's iPad or something like that. This is Ezra's book. Okay? And you may hear that in younger children. The reason is because they have not learned this is my book. They know it belongs to him, but they cannot attach. They don't understand that my belongs to me until about 3 plus 4. They begin to then personalize it. Does that make sense? And that's when they begin to understand that God is perfect, is creator, and he's my God. Alright? They can actually do that already. She can associate with God with things that are good and true, and I highlight that. The concept of God that the child has is related to the relationship that you have with the child. If we have a very distant relationship with our child, the child will treat everything as distant. Okay? This particularly happens for children who is taken care of by maids and when parents are not around. Everything is impersonal. And so it is difficult for a child to even have close friends. Why? Because everything is distant. And so you know what they do? They surround themselves with things. They surround themselves with things. They become materialistic because they find that they can have some attachment with things. Because things don't respond. People do. If they've not learned to trust, they grow up with a basic sense of not being not too sure. And so every time people say something, they'll always be doubting. Okay? Does that make sense? And that's why it's important for us, even as a church, to understand when parents come with younger children and maybe it's a single mother or whatever, we have to be very careful that we still treat the children with encouragement. And of course, if they're doing wrong, you'll be stern, but at the end of the day, you still need to show that you care for them and love them so that they will build that basic trust. Alright? Okay, there's deeper understanding for 4 and 5, the difference between right and wrong. Okay, her conscience is emerging. Conscience has always been in there. It's just that they begin to get in touch with right and wrong, and I am wrong. Okay? Okay? So, she can know her wrong actions are sin in God's eyes. She can feel sorry for sin. If you have expressed genuine forgiveness of a wrongdoing, she can better experience God's forgiveness. This is a very important thing. If as a parent, when the child grows and all they get is being harsh when they are young, wow, very harsh, you know what? They grow up with a sense that I can never be forgiven. I am never good enough. And there's some teenagers who grow up with that bitter sense. That's why they hate society. Because as they were young, and this, to some people, this might be psychology. It's not. When the child grows up with a sense of distrust, and every time he does something which is just slightly wrong and gets hammered for it, and there's no forgiveness that God this is being shown, you know what the child grew up with? This world is cruel. This world is punishing. When I grow up, I need to protect myself. That's why some people are just self-made. I need to just take care of myself. You know, even in a group situation. Okay? I'm pretty stern with our children, but you know what? at the end of the day, after we talk about discipline, I'll still hug them, I'll still kiss them, I'll still love them. And that's important because the children need to understand. I always say this after I discipline my children, I say, it's over already, finish. And I will force myself never to bring up whatever they've done wrong, ever again. Unless they do it again. Then I got to deal with it. Because children need to understand forgiveness. And if they don't understand forgiveness, and if you know, we live in a world today that many children today growing up in families who are not Christians, all they think about is, all the parents think about is making money. So as children grow up, it's very hard for them to even experience things that we're talking about now. Many parents will never understand this till the day they die. And that's why they live. And that's why we need to reach out to people to get them saved so they can understand God's love. And so that the families can be changed. Okay? All right? Alright, then after that, your child age 4 can become a Christian in the true sense of the word. Okay, but don't force them. They can actually become, because now they begin to understand the personal God. Okay, I think Esther Joy trusted Christ for about 5 or 6. Well, how? 7, okay, sorry, I'm wrong. 7, okay, so we move on. Okay, your child can worship God in a very real sense. Okay, parents and children, listen, at 5 years old, at 4 years old, you can actually understand enough to stand still and just worship God, okay, in the true sense. So parents, we need to give them that opportunity as well. Okay, 6 and 7, the child can understand basic truth about God, can make God a constant subject of your conversation with your 6 and 7 year old. Esther John said, you know, she always comes to me and tell about the Bible, what she learned, and how she wants to do this for God. And you know, God becomes part and parcel of life. And you know what, if you have a young child, 5 or 6 or 7 years old, speak of God as if he's there. In reality, he is. But sometimes as parents, we don't even mention God in our whole day. You know, for those, people in families who are not Christians, you can still mention that because God is there with you. You can tell, again, remember, in my mind at least, to know that in the group of non-believers at work, and say, God's in control. You know, you can say things like that. And they probably look at you weirdly, but he is, and he's there. Okay, so for a younger child, all the more you can actually make God a constant. I will always use that with my children. It's not just what I say, what I believe. Okay, and because it's true, God is true there. Okay, he can understand that God loves him, his family, his friends, and all the people in the world as well. Okay, show much love. And that's why people who are growing up in families that had little of that, I think that this world is a hated place. Okay? It brings a lot of rebellion. He can grow and appreciate God's forgiveness for wrongs he has committed. He can understand that God's omnipotent power can make a person well, calm a storm. So reading the Bible to him, the child can really have a personal relationship with Jesus, but don't pressure him, okay, to have that. Alright, don't push him. Let it be a willing heart that comes. Okay, from 8 to 11, the child is able to recognize sin as sin, but to identify own sins is not so easy. That's it. That's why this is interesting, because they can recognize what is sin, but it's always sin if someone else does it, not me. And that's why for some parents, like, well, eat and labor, you mean you still don't understand? The child is being disciplined, but it's not getting through. Boys have a harder time because they develop slightly slower. Okay, God is very fair. Actually, many people say the girls will develop faster in terms of the language and all that. You know what? And the girls grow taller, right? And after a while, they stop. Then guys catch up. Okay? So generally, a guy should be in that sense. Alright? So, if they have a keen sense of justice, they will feel more responsible for their own wrongdoings. Okay? Although to identify sin itself is the difficult thing. They cannot actually see that as personal sin. Yes, it's wrong, but is it sin? To them, they cannot understand that for themselves. But they know if it's stealing and lying, they know it's sin. Okay? They can have a deeper sense that the Bible is God's word without error, that it is to be obeyed. It provides direct answers for many problems she faces in life. Even for teenagers, when they face problems in life, they will need guidance. Okay? Parents, we cannot expect our children to just read the Bible. So sometimes I will ask my children, do you know what you are learning? I'll ask them to draw, I'll ask them to write things so that it makes it more real to them. Okay? They can memorize scripture easily. They can be loyal towards the church and the Lord. A personal relation is generally easy. Because why? They're trusting at this stage. Assuming all things remaining constant, they can actually learn to trust, alright? She can learn that she needs Jesus Christ to control her life. She can know that Jesus will help her with her fears. But how much, listener, how much of this she learns will depend to a great extent what kind of example we are showing them. And I believe this, many children in churches today grow up not trusting Christ because adults in the church don't demonstrate a trust in Christ. They don't demonstrate a dependency on Christ. Families, when we get into trouble, what's the first thing you do? Panic, right? Okay? But a Christian home where a child will grow up strong, even in a church where a child will grow up strong, need to see the leaders, need to see the elders, go straight to the Bible, go straight to prayer. And when they grow up, they know this is the approach that they need to take. That is when they begin to learn to trust God even more. Okay? So she needs Jesus to control her life. She knows that. She's been taught that. But she cannot do it because there's no example to follow. Parents, we are the number one example. Science school teachers, when the children come, okay, we need to make sure that science school is not just a place that we see the science school teacher have fun and laugh and all that kind of thing. Okay, it needs to be a serious time whereby the child knows I'm coming here to learn God's word. Okay? I think it's so important examples. Okay? They got Superman and Batman who wears their underwear outside on, that kind of thing. They don't need the kind of superheroes. They need godly Christians who will live for God as their example. Alright? Any questions? Okay, we're going to go on to personality development, okay? Now, this might be a little bit strange. Brother Johnny, why are you talking about this? I believe this. When we understand how we are brought into this world, what we have, it then sets the stage as to what we need to do to help our children. Okay? And I will say this. Many of us are actually products of how someone else treated us. Or did not treat us. We grew up in a way that if a person had done a better job with us, so-called, we would have been better. Alright? So, we want to go through the origin of personality and behaviors. I'll just start off with Genesis chapter 2. For those who came for the church camp, I went through this, but this may be a reveal, okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 2, we want to talk about where do we get our character and personality from. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible teaches us, the Bible here, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Bible teaches us that God actually formed man, and then he breathed into man. We all know, just think of a person who perhaps has passed away. All they have in the coffin is the shell. That is the body. Okay? That was how Adam was at the beginning. Does that make sense? But when God breathed into Adam, his breath, and that's when Adam became alive. Alright, that was how man came into being. The breath of life. The word breath means to blow upon. And the breath has two implications. Number one, God gave life to someone, or God gave life to a shell, empty shell. God put his spirit into that person. Remember, we are made in the what? Image of God. So when God breathed into man his breath, essentially, he breathed into man his image as well. Does that make sense? That's very important for us to understand that. Okay, the Bible says, then man became a living soul. The word living implies to be alive. And the word soul literally means a person. Man became a living person. Okay? As I speak now, as you sit down there, what I see is not the real person. That's scary a bit. When I talk, I'm not. This is not Johnny. It is the person talking. Does that make sense? I'm Johnny. Body, soul, and spirit, I'm Johnny. But this soul will die. This body will die one day. The soul leaves the body. Okay? And that is the soul that God gave. Okay? Through the breath of God, man received his life, his senses, and his intellect. Okay? Let's see if this there. Okay, so literally our person and our character was received from God. Who you are originally when God made man, we were what? Perfect, because we had the image of God in us. And what did God say in Genesis 1:31? And God saw everything that He made, and it was not just good, it was very good. Okay, and that included man. Alright? Okay? Alright. So when we were created just imagine Ruth, okay? I think Ruth is it too cold or? Oh, she missed it. Okay. So it's in Psalm 139 verse 13, the Bible says, "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will fear thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Okay? In Ecclesiastes 11 verse 5, let's turn there, right? If you have your Bible, Ecclesiastes 11 verse 5. We're talking about the growth of a child inside the womb, okay? Let's read together Ecclesiastes 11 verse 5. Ready? 1, 2. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 5. 1, 2, begin. "As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." Okay? According to Israel's wisdom. Now this one is very clear. None of us. You realize the miracle of every child? You realize every child is a miracle. Every child. I don't care how he looks, how tall he is, how many eyes he has. Everyone has two only. You realize from a single cell, God actually put a zip file inside that cell. You know the zip file? That was how, when I begin to realize, that was how God, everything was put into that single cell and it began to multiply. Alright? To the point, do you know what is the first thing that a child has in the womb? Does anyone know? What's the first thing that doctors look for? The heart comes first. Without a heartbeat, there's no point having anything else, right? Then what's the next thing that comes out? The brain. Because with the brain, it's interesting, if you actually look at the development of the child in the womb, you always start with the heart, then the brain. The brain is there's two parts of the brain, the central nervous system and the spinal cord. This is also the brain. And what happens is, interestingly, the brain actually begins to grow, and then the spinal cord starts to grow to the back. Why? Because from the spinal cord, interestingly, the nerve starts coming out to give information from the central nervous system for the extension of all your limbs. Okay? All this was pre-planned. Wrong. All this was evolution. Just kind of happened. No, the Bible says I was what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, in Hebrew wisdom, they say the creation of a child is one of God's fantastic mysteries. You will never understand. Doctors and scientists can describe the development of a child, but they can never explain how it started. Only God can. Amen? It was God who put it there. That's why every child, every person is unique. Every person is an individual. Every person is special in God's sight. The word possess comes from the Hebrew word, the idea of meaning of the creator. The Bible says, "Thou hast possessed my reins." Okay, the creature possessed me. The reins refers to my internal organs. God was in charge of even my internal organs as it was developing. Okay, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The word fearfully has the idea of cautious. God cautiously made me. Can you imagine? That means the eyes you had was a result of God's caution and careful framing, okay? So don't be dissatisfied with who you are. It was God who put it there, alright? And then you are was wonderfully made, beautifully made. So at creation, God made man and imparted his life, his spirit, his personality, and his character to man. At birth, we are also wonderfully made. So at creation, we were perfect at creation of Adam and Eve. But then there's a difference now. We know that in Genesis chapter 3, man fell into sin. With sin comes death. The Bible says this is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Right? Adam and Eve started from God. So, Adam and Eve had the image of God, the character of God, the personality of God. in verse 2, male and female created he them, and he blessed them and called their name Adam in the day which were created. Verse 3, and then Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. And that was after Adam had sinned. When Adam had sinned, get this, his nature, his personality became what? Corrupted. Okay? Became corrupted. And they call his name Seth. Okay? After his own name, likeness and after his image. This his is Adam's image, no longer God's image. And Adam had a corrupted image already. Alright? So what happened after that? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the word imagination in the Hebrew word means concept. Every plan, everything that you have, every conceptual thing, all the things that you think in your mind, of the thoughts, the concept of their intention and plans. You see how accurate the Hebrew word. So every imagination concept of his thoughts and intention and plans. It means my plan that came out and the thinking behind it was what? Of the thoughts of heart was evil continually. The word continual means from sunrise to sunset. In other words, from the time you wake up, the time you're going to sleep, it's all evil. It's all evil. It's all evil. Can you imagine if everything that God said was evil? Imagine what will happen to your personality and your character? Evil. Which was why in Genesis chapter 6, God had to send the flood. Because man was getting so bad, they started to abuse each other. Do we see that today? Huh? Do we see violence today? Do we see verbal violence today? Huh? Jeremiah has been keeping track. Do you realize the US is sending three... How many aircraft carriers do the US have? No, how many aircraft altogether? About 15. What? About 15 aircraft carriers. Three of them is in the Gulf. Why? Because of Iran. Okay? Because you don't know what Iran is going to do. So from morning, sunrise or sunset, we always have. From the time we wake up to the time we sleep, we are wicked continually. That's what the Bible says. Okay? And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The word deceitful and desperately wicked means incurable. We are totally incurable inside. Can you imagine the personality and behavior of a person? Okay? The Bible says who can fully understand it. Now, so what is the outcome? In Romans 6:23, what's Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. Okay? With corruption comes death, okay? Matthew 10:29, let's turn there, okay? I think this one a little bit more. Talking about the body and soul that God has to destroy. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both what? Soul and body in hell. God made, God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. God says because of sin and corruption, God has to destroy the soul in hell. Okay? And the body, because the body, the soul is the motivator, the body is the instrument by which evil came through, both has to be destroyed. Okay? We are doomed to corruption. So the outcome of every child, children born into this world, therefore, are hopelessly doomed to a life of corruption and misbehaviors unless they are trained to do the right thing. Unless they're trained to do the right thing. Now, unless you misunderstand. So, which means that if we just train our children right, they'll go to heaven. Wrong. A change of behavior, genuine change in behavior. Do you realize for every child, we can actually train them from young to do the right things, but they'll still die and go to hell? Because genuine salvation only comes by when they put their trust in Christ. So which means a child maybe growing up in a Christian family, and it seems to be quite okay, but they may not be Christians. Their behaviors may be right, they know how to behave, but it's interestingly, by teenage years, you begin to see the disparity. Why? They begin to challenge conventions, they begin to challenge what is the established rules, they begin to do all that. Alright? Okay? But as parents, what we need to do is to train them for heaven, meaning we need to set them on the right from the beginning, so they don't have to make the mistakes we made. Can I say that again? For Christian parents, why are we doing the child training? Because there are many families today who do not teach their children, who do not train their children. They grow up and the children get into trouble and the parents, you get heartache. And some of us as adults have gone through heartaches in life because we didn't have the privilege of a Christian parent teaching us. And that's why we made mistakes in our life. We made plans, we made decisions that we shouldn't have, we wouldn't have made if someone who bothered to teach us. But you know what? Parents, can I say this? Whatever mistakes you've made, your children don't have to go through it. Amen? Sunday school teachers, you have a very important responsibility for the younger children to teach them in the way of righteousness from young. Okay? Alright, let's move on. So where should I start to train? Okay, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. This is a very important passage. Many people say, so Brother Johnny, if I were to bring my child to church every time on Sundays and all that, my child will turn out right. Isn't that true? No, it's not true. We need to be teaching actively on a daily basis, not only the right actions, but the right heart, the right attitudes, the right spirit. I'll give you an example. There are some people who are able to do their job very well. Have you seen people who do their work very well? But you don't ever want to go out lunch with them. Because the moment they do their work very well, when we go out lunch with them, they'll curse this out, they'll be angry, they'll be so bitter. You say, yeah, you asked me to do it. Okay, I do it, no problem. See, like that only can already. Huh? Why are you so stupid? And it's the whole attitude is so bitter and so... And what do you think the children learn? Okay. You know, you kind of... But you know what? If the parent not only teach the right thing, but has the right attitude and has the right spirit of Christ, a child will be drawn towards that. Does that make sense? Very important. So the word training actually is a word that is used in the Hebrew times. I think we have gone through this before. I'll just go through it again. That when a child, when they're young, for example, for children, it's very interesting. For children, they call it behavioral training, all right? Like kind of training monkeys. When a child is given a piece of food, for example, to begin with, all right? The child will eat it the first time. Then the second time, all you have to do is just stick out your finger, the child opens his mouth. Does that make sense? So let's say let's pretend Ezra is not, don't worry, let's pretend, Ezra. Don't come. Ezra. Hello. How are you? Ezra, you want this? Ezra is 4 years old, so you want this? Generally, if it's Ruth, you grab. You want this? You don't want to. Why? You want this? Okay. So we know that this is more motivating than this one. Because they want to color this one, don't have. Okay. But what I'm saying is, let's pretend this is food. Generally, children go for food. Right? Okay, if you put a sweet. Oh, I don't want sweet. I see her eyes looking at me already. Okay? The question is, so he's not, that's why I say I can use this for a while more. Do you realize how powerful this is? And so when a child is 4 years old, 5 years old, you want can. You finish 20 pages of maths, I give you one. What did a child will do? Because you have trained up a child in the way he should go. Okay? And when he's old, he will not depart from it. But you know what will happen next time when he is 17 years old? Papa, you want me to do a can? How much will you give me? $2? Come on lah, you can do more than that. I tell you what, 200, how about that? It's like, what do you think about banker? So you want what? actually, the beginning part was this one. He's working for it. He's still desperate. Right? He's still looking at that. Yeah. Does it make sense? When we train up our child in the way it should go, how many of you parents would say this? The child will be doing work in the room. Suddenly, you're on your television. What happens to the child? He runs out to the room. Runs out. You know what? You have trained the child to do that. Any questions? This is what you mean to train our child. Listen. When we put the wrong behaviors in our children, even unintentionally, it takes them to the rest of their lives. That's what this verse means. Does it make sense? So when you teach a child that I will only do, teach a child that everything you do, I'll give you something. I'll reward you. You have problems when they can actually fight you when they're 14 and 15 and 16 years old. Okay? Now Jeremiah and Jairo is faster than me. Maybe not Jairo, but Jeremiah is faster than me. Why? Because of my knee and all that kind of thing. But Jeremiah can run faster now. I won't be able to catch them anymore. But you know what? If I train him in the right way from the beginning, he's going to have a lot of problems. Does that make sense? That's what this verse means. This verse does not guarantee that the children will grow up being a Christian. In fact, it depends on what kind of training as a parent you put it into their lives. Okay? If we train our children to just wake up at any time, do what they want, they'll wake up at any time, do what they want. If we train our children to only eat French fries, they will only eat French fries. Even though they have a sore throat. Huh? If we train our children that only gassy drinks is allowed, and okay lah, give you lah. You know what they will do? You better have a lot of money with you. Because they will throw a big fit, a big tantrum, if you don't give it to them. He knows he's there. We'll see how it goes, okay? As he's trying, you just read this. This is from a book that I used when I was young, when I was bringing up children. I'm thinking of ordering this, but this book is very good. It's only about 3-4 pages. It actually covers a lot of things like teaching your children how to sit down, teaching your children how to do the right thing, teaching your children how to sleep at night without running into your room, that kind of thing. Okay, all the practical things. That's right, it's over here, huh? If you know. You know what he's doing? He wants grandpa to get, right? Okay, training is a possibility long before teaching is. Before a child is old enough to know what is said to it, he is capable of feeling and of conforming to or of resisting the pressure of efforts for his training. A child can be trained to go to sleep in the arms of his mother or nurse or in a cradle or in a bed with rocking or without rocking. In a light room or in a dark one. In a noisy room or only in a quiet one. A child can also be expected to be trained to expect nourishment like milk and to accept it only at fixed time or at his own fancy. A very young child can be trained to cry for what he wants or to keep quiet. A child is well started in his life training by the time it is 6 weeks. Okay, my first spanking of Jeremiah was 6 months. Okay? It wasn't that he was bad. You know what was happening? I was trying to change his diapers. The papa don't. Okay, maybe I shouldn't mention. And you know how children, when they change diapers, you will move on, right? You know what? One time, the backside stopped already. And from then on, I have no problems. Train up a child in the way it should go. When papa is changing your diapers, stop moving. Of course, he cannot understand, but he knows when the thing touched my buttock, when it's clean. If I move, equals to psh. When the child don't understand, but he understand the sensory motor type of input, okay? Does that make sense? Honestly, me and my wife didn't have problems with him after that. Honestly. Didn't have problems. With changing diapers, okay? I believe with all of my heart, every child can be trained in the way of righteousness. The responsibility on the parents. If we put our parents in front of things they're not supposed to see, do, they will follow. Okay? So let's go on first, huh? Okay. Where should I start to train them? This time I want to go into very specific things. I'm happy to send you this. So, number one, you need to train them in the habits of life. What does that mean? they need to know, according to, as wise parents, what is the correct time they have to get up and correct time they have to go to sleep. When they get up, what are they supposed to do? When are they supposed to drink their milk? Where are they supposed to put the cup after they finish drinking? Where are they supposed... Okay, for us, I'll give you an example. For us, in our family, it's very clear. When they get up, first thing, what do you do, Joy? What do you do when you get up? Go to the toilet and brush teeth, okay, Jara? Yeah, wash up then after that? Huh? Pay your bed then? Okay? Read your Bible then? Then take breakfast then? Then family devotions then? We've been doing that for the last 8-10 years. When a child gets up, even as young as Joy, they can be trained to make their bed. Parents, as parents, may have to help them. They can fold their bed, they know where to put, and usually what I do is I'll do it for them, and then they follow. Okay? The child is able to do that from a young age. Okay? Habits of life. When they actually change, where do they put their clothing? Do they just throw it on the floor and expect someone else to pick up? But parents do it. You know, sometimes when the children do that, you know what as parents do? Ah, yeah, you're so silly, yeah. Then we pick up. You know what you're training our children to do? If a child actually does something, like for example, I change my clothing already, I throw my clothing there, I go and play. Say, oi, come back! You shouldn't be doing that, you know? Ah, yeah, so naughty are you? And then as parents, you carry. Who's the naughty one? You know who? You know what we train our children to do? Whatever papa, mama say, I don't care, because she's going to do it anyway. One of the things in child training is enforcement. Because remember last week we talked about the fact that parents have authority to train. Okay? And children, you need to know, it's non-negotiable. When dad says, do, you do. Okay? Because God has given dad and mom the authority to train. Alright? So train them in the habits of life. What time to sleep. What to watch on television. What to drink. Behavior in public places. I thank God for my wife. You know, all four, when I preach, all my children fall asleep. Because they've been trained to. Not now, lah, okay? When they were younger, before the age of two, it was very clear, when it comes to preaching, my wife will bring them up and say, time to sleep. Don't sleep, psh. So every time I sleep, she had no problems with her children during the message. Because children are sleeping. And they've been trained to do that. Okay? It can be done. It can be done. It is a priority of parents. Okay? A child can be trained to eat what is given to him in front of him. As parents, sometimes we give them too many choices and then they say, ah, yeah, they always like that one. You know why they always like that? Because when they first started, we've trained them in the way they have already gone. I say, ah, yeah, next time we see how long, hopefully they will change. Huh? They won't change because the Bible says they will go in that way. So if you want your children to eat your peas and your carrots and your whatever, you know what? For my family, they will not leave the table until they finish. They will not leave. They can cry till the cows come home, they will not leave. Why? That's training and enforcement. Because I believe vegetables are good for them. That's how our children eat all the green vegetables and everything that's on their plate. But if parents, we say, let's just give them what they want. What are you doing? Training them up in the way they will go, and when they are old, they only go for pizzas. They only go for this. And when they come to maybe a food time, how come all Chinese food? Mama, why you bring me to a place only Chinese food? This is a 17-year-old. Don't you know I only like pizza? Hey, don't so loud. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Can I say for a fact, there's one pastor in Singapore whose son is like that. He's 16 years old. When they had a church food, he refused to eat. Mommy has to bring him out to a fast food restaurant to eat. I think you all know who he is. Our family knows, because we were there, we were preaching in our church. The child just will not eat. Just sit down and just say, that's right, just don't eat. Do you know what? The mom have to bring the child out to a fast food restaurant. Otherwise, he just won't eat. A
And it was palabok, you know. And it was there at a full range of widespread. I mean, if you don't like this, just take something else. He just refused to take. He had, the mom had to bring drive. Thank God the mom drive had to bring him out to eat. No, mom doesn't drive. Actually, they actually brought him out later. He just kind of sat at the side. Don't eat. You know what? That's a spoiled brat. At 16 years old. Have we trained our children? If we train, you know, in other words, the child is trained not only to disobey parents, the child would likely disobey God too. Because the children see us. They can't see God, but they see us and how we behave, and then they correlate that, okay? Firstly, so for those who have younger children, can I strongly suggest routine, stick closely to it. And the child is non-negotiable. If you believe a child needs to learn how to brush his teeth properly, then you train him in the proper way. Okay? Of course, you must give the toothbrush, not too big. Lah. Don't wear the adult size and hard one, those hard ones, you know, the soft one, you know. And it has to be child size. Okay? But you know what? Make it a fun time and the child will learn. You know, the child will enjoy learning each day. Teach the child how to fold the blanket. I had one child who came to a clinic one time. I think I shared with you before. Take out shoes. You know what she do to take out shoes? She put her leg up. You know why? The maid always take out the shoe for her. I say, excuse me, you stand aside. You take out your own shoe. He could take out his shoes. We are bringing up a generation. If we're not careful as Christian families, we bring a generation that is self-centered. Okay, we need to be very careful. God wants us to train them for Him. Alright? The next thing to train the child to read the Bible from young. This is very important. Okay? Parents, the child can read the Bible from an early age. From an early age, how we started for our family is, everyone is given an RPG, okay? So, you know, RPG is quite the cartoons they do. And so every day they will turn to it, and there's a verse they will read. And over time, the principle is, from RPG, they must graduate to the Bible itself. Okay? And so, what my wife does faithfully every day is for all of them, she will take them, I also do sometimes with them, but she does it every day, reading the picture Bible when they're young. At, I think it's what, 2 years, two plus, about 2 years old, two plus, three plus. Maybe it's when if Ruth, another 6 months onwards, is already, yeah, she may run around and say, no, come back, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So every day, and each picture Bible is only two pages. And usually the concept of books for children is what, 70% pictures. Yeah? 70% pictures, just maybe one line here, one line here. Okay? So that's how they design children books. Is to actually capture their attention, big one, and then only one or two sentences here. Alright? And so, as a child, dads, moms, we need to spend time in the daily. How do we do that? Start early, as much as early as possible. Alright? Early meaning not in the morning, but early in terms of age. Okay? The next one, plan their reading. Make sure the child knows that for our children, all of them have their own Bible schedules. They follow it, and they will jot down all their... Not for Pastor Joy, he goes through on a daily basis the reading plan. Okay? Parents, don't expect the children to plan for themselves. We must plan for them. We must plan for them, okay? Provide positive incentive. Oh, well done, okay? You can give them stars for finishing, and when they give it to you, oh, well done, oh, God. And I'll always say, well, good learning. I'm sure God is very pleased with you and things like that. To give them encouragement. Next one, enforce. Sometimes I will come and say, have you read the Bible? Not yet. Now, can you please go and read the Bible? Okay, so we do. So sometimes I just have to keep up the enforcement. Alright? And we need to do it because it's right. Well, read the Bible, very boring. You know, sometimes it's... You know, maybe I'll just gently put this. Sometimes our children don't read the Bible. You know why? Because we don't see our parents doing it. We don't see parents doing it. Oh my God, change that. Our children need to know. If it's important to dad, I'm going to do it. But if dad doesn't read it, if mom doesn't read it, not just dad, mom too. The children learn. Okay? We do it because it is right. This is taken from a book, Training Your Child to Turn Out Right. I have two copies. If anyone like, I can actually share with them as well. Okay? It's by David Sorensen. The next one, train the child in righteousness. In other words, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Let's turn there. Ephesians 6 verse 1. Ephesians 6 verse 1. The children, I want you to read. Those below 12. Ready? Ephesians 6 verse 1. Ready, children? Wonder. You are so below 12. What? Jara? Below 12. Okay, ready, Jara? Ready? Okay, ready, children? 1, 2, go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? Why, children, why do you obey your parents? Why do you obey your parents? Why do you obey your parents? What's the reason why you obey your parents? What does the Bible say? Because it is right. But you don't understand my mom or my dad. Yes, I don't. But I understand the Bible. The Bible says you obey him anyway because it is the right thing to do. Okay? Now, I just want to drop this in even across the board as Christians. Children, when they grow up, will do things for two reasons. They do it because either they want it or they don't want it. Right? Yes? Okay? So the children will do it whether based on their feelings. I don't want... A lot of parents say this, sometimes even a Christian, oh yeah, if he wants it, he can do it. You know what's the problem? We have not trained them to do it. This is very important. In life, children must be trained to do things even though they don't like it. Why? Because their careers can depend on it. If I don't feel like going to work today, and I really don't go to work today, what will happen to your family? My family will not eat. Yes? But for us as adults, we know there is a $2,000-$3,000 hanging at the end of the month that if we don't go, we will lose it. So we have been trained. Okay? And that's why whether it's raining or shining, no matter how tired we are, we still go to work. Why? We've been trained. Can I say this? There are adults who, because they are plain lazy, they say, when they don't want to go to work, they resign. And in the end, their parents, their family suffer. Okay? You know what that is? That's training character. Meaning your children will do things because they don't like it, but they do it anyway with a cheerful spirit. That's character. Does it make sense? Any questions? Parents, you need to understand that. Because I can tell you, there's one time when this is obedience. I think some of you know, Jeremiah was hurt one time and he got his lips cut. And I was panicking already. So I shouted, Joanna, Jara, get in the van. Then they just ran to the van. Okay? Then I drove to the clinic, carried Jeremiah in, so they followed. They said, get back in the van, so they get back in the van. Then I drove to KK Hospital, put Jeremiah in the emergency already, and said, you sit there until I come back. Huh? Then I parked and came out, then the nurse said, hey, your children never move. I thank God for that, because I have no time to manage them when Jeremiah is in danger. But because I gave them instruction, they were trained to listen. It helped me. And of course, later on, I rewarded them. I think, did I? Can't remember. But you need to. And I say, then I look at them, well done. You didn't. You probably cannot remember. So they're only 3-4 years old. I've learned this. I can tell you, in the time of crisis, you need your children to be able to help. If your children will fight, see how much he's trying so hard. Interestingly, that's the way he wants to go. His mind is just set on it. Okay? Okay, that's right. Okay, teach righteousness as a principle. In other words, you know, we go to church because it's right. I go, Lord, because as parents, we go to church because it's the right thing to do. And when we do that, and our children seeing us going, will learn as a principle of their life, I need to be in church because that's the right thing to do. Under no circumstances will I miss it, because my mommy and daddy has taught me from young, going to church is the right thing to do. Reading the Bible on a daily basis is the right thing to do. Rain or shine, tiredness or not, I will still at least read a bit of the Bible, because I've been taught by my mom and dad that regardless of whether I feel like it or not, I'll still read my Bible. Washing the dishes, whether I'm tired or not, is my duty. I need to do it because that's the right thing to do. If I don't do it, then my parents' families will suffer because there'll be ends, and then we have to do more work. Teaching righteousness as a principle. You know what many children do today? Don't want to eat this one, can or not? Can you eat something else? Why do you always cook that? And we grumble. You know what? Our children are not allowed to grumble. They just eat what's given to them. They have a choice. Eat it or go to sleep. Or go hungry. Of course, sometimes we do provide them other things, but you know what? Whatever that's on the table, I believe, is a sin of murmuring. You're not satisfied with what you have. Okay? So, apply righteousness as a principle. When you watch on television something that is wrong, switch it off straight away. If you see rock music coming in your family, straight it off straight away. And you tell your children, the reason why I do this is because God says we shouldn't be allowing that kind of things in the family. If you see on the computer certain things they're not supposed to say, switch it off straight away. And I'll tell my children, sorry, you've got to stop that. Because I'm applying righteousness as a principle. And they see that dad and mom say, hey, this is a serious matter, because that's not going to allow me to say that kind of things in the home because it is wrong. Okay? From young, Esther Joy is able to detect rock music that is wrong. Whenever there's the beat, and say, Papa, that's bad music. I say, you're right. From young, 4 years old, she can detect. When the music comes on, Papa, rock, bad music. Straight away, I'll switch it off. I don't have to, because she's been trained. Today, we allow our children to listen to the rock music. And you know what? After what, they get desensitized to it. And then when the rock music in the home, they just leave it on. No wonder they don't. When they come to church, it's boring. Hymns. You know, there's so much doctrine, there's so much worship God wants us to do. But when we train our children in that way, parents, if you allow your children rock music, or jazz music, or kind of music, when they become the leaders of the church will go downhill. Mark it down. Okay, teenagers, if you are into those music, maybe your parents say, my mom never taught me. Now I'm telling you. Next week, I'm going to be dealing with that, because bring up teenagers in the home. I'll be dealing with TV, television, and music, because it's very important. It affects our young people today. Okay? And parents, if you are serious about God, about what God wants us to learn and bring our children in the right way, we need to apply righteousness as a principle. Then we need to teach righteousness by example. Or time to go to church, let's go. Or time to read the Bible, let's read. Time to have family devotions, let's do it. Time to go soul winning, let's go. Or time to do the right thing, let's do. Time to help someone, let's help. We teach right by our example. Okay, very important. Because our children by nature won't do it unless they see someone do it. The last one, teach righteousness early and long. Just keep on doing it until even they are old. Okay? Teaching righteousness. Okay. Train the child in discipline. Okay? What is discipline? Discipline is to do what we know is right, not what we know what we want. Okay? Hudson Taylor was the one who said this: an undisciplined person will never amount to anything in God's work. If you understand discipline as doing what we know is right, and that's why for myself as a principal, and I hope to be able to hopefully pass this on to the next man in charge or whoever, we do right no matter who goes or what. We do right because we don't care who is there. It's more important I'm there because that's what God told me to do. That's discipline. That's being a disciple of Christ. As a Christian, the Christian needs to be the most disciplined person. That when we know it's a duty to do, we'll be there. No matter what. That's discipline. It's interesting that Hudson Taylor actually said that. He was a very disciplined man in prayer, in ministry. He started the China Inland Mission to reach thousands of China Inlanders, and many of them got saved. We need to teach them self-discipline. Okay? One of the things when my children are being disciplined is this. They're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do that. So you cry quite quietly. I say, shh. Self-control. But Brother Johnny, that's being unreasonable. They just want to cry. Yes, they are, but they can control themselves. And they do. Interestingly, this is what I do. While I've seen that they've tried to discipline themselves in self-control, then I ask them to come to me. and I'll hug them. You know why, Baba, I have to spank you? And I'll begin to talk to them kindly again. At the end of the day, I will pray with them and I'll tell them it's all over. And I don't mention it ever again. So they know their situation is over. Until the next time they do it again. But you know what? I find always they won't do it again. Why? Not they won't. Not all of them. Okay? We're all different. But I found that when we do that, they know we've been trained. You know why it's so important to teach self-discipline? Because today, the only time we are self-disciplined is at work or at school. All others, even at church, we don't discipline ourselves. We need to be careful of that, alright? Because God wants us to discipline. How do we discipline ourselves? By walking in the Spirit. And that simply means obedience, okay? We need to teach the discipline of the mind. Students, study. Don't be lazy. That's being lazy if you don't study. Okay? And why is it that some people can read all other things except the Bible? Not just the Bible, but anything that... When it comes to... What's that? Life section, you know, you have the cartoons, right? Once it's cartoon, they read. Science. Our mind switch off. The discipline of the mind. Okay? Many Christians don't read the Bible, you know why? They don't discipline their mind. I fought that many, many years. God had to teach me what it means to discipline your mind, to think. Okay? Discipline of emotions. Why you like that? A little bit of thing and you shout and scream and all that. You know why? We have no control. We have no discipline over our emotions. Alright? And that's why we get into... don't laugh. Don't practice at home. I'm sorry. It's okay. Discipline of the emotions. We can control ourselves. And you know, sometimes when we control ourselves, it does help a situation, amen? Very funny, right? Very funny. You sure you're the one? Okay. Teach the discipline organization, you know, organizing our time to be punctual, etc. And our workstations and all that. I'm very ill-disciplined, thank God for my wife. She's more organized than me. She helps me a lot. Okay. You know what? Discipline is a key to productivity. As a church, we can grow. Okay, not just as a church, as a family too. Okay, let's move on a little bit more. Okay, next one. Okay, how to train. This one I'm going to go very quickly into the specifics, alright? Number one, pray. This is when you want to teach your child something. When you're going to train your child, for example, you may want to train your child to brush his teeth. Number one, pray. God, I'm going to teach my child to... I'm going to train my child to brush his teeth properly. Lord, give me grace, give me wisdom, give me patience. Lord, please. Alright, number one, engage the child's attention. Hey, the child ran away. Ezra! Okay, I'm going to teach him something, I think. Ezra! Where's Ezra? Where? Ezra! Okay, engage the child's attention. Ezra! Hello! Woo-hoo. Okay. Ezra! Come! Engage the child's attention. Hello! Speak at a level the child can understand. Mm-hmm. Can we draw? Can we draw? Uncle Johnny teach you to draw. Come, come. Engaging the child's attention. You want to draw? Don't say, don't go into a philosophical dissertation, a DC, and say, we're going to be drawing a dragon at the most, draw, want to draw? Come, come, come here, draw. Come. Engaging, speaking to the child at a level the child can understand. Draw. You say, come, Ezra, draw. Come, come and draw. Now draw. She's a bit... No, come. He's a bitch. Okay. Give a task. Okay, this is a task I know he can do. He's holding the pencil in the correct way too. Okay. So ask if the child understands. Okay, I didn't ask because what I do is... you want to try? Hey, what about this one? This one? The body. You know the body? 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 Yeah, he's quite good. Okay. Good. So he's a perfect example. okay. So, encourage the child to do it. And sometimes just now he was kind of a bit afraid because my tone was very strong. And so, I just stopped him. Okay? Stop him. Monitor and see if the child can do it. What's the leg? What's the leg? And so, he keep on going. So, at the end of the day, he learned how to draw a stick figure. Okay? And I know it's a level that he can. Okay? But if you keep enforcing that how a child is supposed to do it and push him to do it, say, you better draw, otherwise I don't give the threats and all that. It doesn't help. You need to be encouraging. Okay? So facilitator, well done. Did you finish? What about the hand? What's the hand? What's the hand? Draw the hand. Okay, monitoring. A child is not able to complete. Good job. Well done. Praise when a child is doing it. Well done. What about eyes? What's the eyes? What's the mouth? You know the mouth? Who is that? Who is that? Who is this? 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 Kong Kong. This is Wai Kong. Okay, you can draw. Okay, you draw. You draw. Okay. Okay. Give praise when the child has. Okay. Give praise when the child is doing it. In other words, as he is doing it, praise him. So what? The child doesn't just get praise at the end. So he knows that even my effort is being appreciated. Then give praise when the child has done it. Well done. So he's still doing it now. Encourage when the child is struggling. Okay. When the child is struggling. So this is important because especially for learning for young children. Sometimes children don't know. Parents, when children don't learn, doesn't mean they are naughty. Sometimes they just don't know. They need time. Okay, they need maybe different ways of teaching to get to them. Okay, see if you can simplify it when you see the child is not performing at all. If you cannot really do it, I won't even do that. I'll probably get him to paste sticker. Maybe I'll draw a circle, get him to paste sticker at the eyes, that kind of thing. Okay, so we need to actually understand that. All right, what I'm doing is actually giving you a kind of a list. I can forward you this in the email. The idea is train before you discipline. Okay, go. Okay, some things to note, okay? When you do this kind of thing over everything that you do in the child's life, you need to invest time. There's no shortcut. You cannot expect the child to learn overnight. You need to invest your heart. The child needs, you need to put yourself into the. And sometimes, I know even as parents, because we're so busy, we kind of get him to do that while we are doing our own work also. Right? Yes. Okay, well done, good. After a while, the child will disengage with you as well. You know why? The child disengages from us because we disengage from him first. Because the child always likes to be with us, right? Right? Better in that way, we force it. Okay? You need to know the task. Okay? As a parent and you teach a child, you need to know what is required in the task. Okay? You need to think training. Don't think, I want the child to draw. Okay? You need to think, okay, I want him to be able to come. I want him to have a good attitude towards me. I want him to be able to hold his pen properly. I want him to be able to, at the end of the day, draw that. Okay? As he's doing that, you keep on training the process rather than just the end result. Okay? The next one is, you need to know what is your end. What is the end goal of the session? And parents, please, as much as we want the children to learn the end goal, if the child is able to do something, just praise them for it. Because it's very disheartening if I'm trying for 90%, I don't get the end goal, I lost everything. No, we need to just train the process as well, to encourage them. Why? Because we all learn at different rates. We need that encouragement for the child, okay? You need to love your child. Say, wait, I won't do that because you will think I'm scolding. Say, not talking about Ezra, I'm talking about James, okay? It's James. Say, let's say James come and say, why you so da 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 da? You machine gun that person to death, you know. And at the end of the day, if the child can't do, and it's not because he's being naughty, then you need to love the child and say, it's okay, we'll try again next tomorrow again, okay? And finally, parents, you need to depend on God to train your child. No, time is running out quickly. Okay, what if my child refuses to follow? Shall I keep this for next week? This is actually behavior. How to deal with a child's behavior. Okay, it's getting late already. It's about 9:45. What I might do is maybe stop here. But any questions up to then? But next week, I'll continue. What if my child misbehaves? What do I do? Okay, I'll be talking about this one. Because it's really long, but I don't want to go. But because of time, I will stop here. But any questions? Next week, I know it's supposed to go into the teenagers, but I'll probably spend maybe 10, 15 minutes to deal with behavior. It'll probably take the whole hour because behavior is such a big thing for many parents. Dealing with behaviors from a biblical perspective, I will also be giving you principles how to use the rod. All right, many parents don't use it today because they believe it's wrong, it's child abuse, and it's not child abuse if administered in love, because that's what the Bible says. All right, but we'll deal with it next. Any questions? Any questions? I know I've skimmed through it quite a lot, but for parents or whoever is interested, we might want to, if need be, make sessions whereby we just come and discuss some of these things. Now, I hope that every child is precious. The way we treat them will reflect how good is our relationship with God. Because if we love God, we love our children. If we genuinely love God, we love our children. Okay? It's applicable not only to parents, But for Sunday school teachers, for teenagers, as you grow up, to understand some of these principles, and you'll be able to detect, some of you may become Sunday school teachers, chapel teachers. All right, apply these things, because the children, remember, at a young age, cannot just listen. They have to do. They have to be involved. I'm thankful for our chapel teachers. They come with art and craft and all that to help them. But it's so important, okay? So at the end of all that, just remember this. Train up a child the way it should go. And you need to ask yourself, which way do I want my child to go? All right? Any questions? So next week, we'll deal with the behavior part from a biblical perspective, but also how to use the rod, okay? And the goal of the rod is not just to spank and cause pain. The goal of the rod is always to bring back the child. Okay? Any questions? If not, let's bow for a lot of prayer. Okay, before we take prayer requests, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And I know I've gone a ways. I'm thankful, Lord, for the examples that we can have. And I believe many times there will be certain things, Lord, which we can reflect on. Lord, without your help, without your grace, without your word, we will not be able to do it properly. Oh God, every child that you have put in Ambassador Baptist Church is a precious child. Every teenager that you put in Ambassador Baptist Church is a precious teenager. Every young adult, Lord, that you put in Ambassador Baptist Church is a precious young adult. Every married couple is precious, Lord, in your sight as well. Lord, we all have different responsibilities, and I pray by your grace we will carry out the responsibilities, Lord, so that we may be able to understand what it means to live for you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do, and I pray that whatever we've learned tonight, we'll be able to apply it at home. But if not, Lord, we pray as Ambassador Baptist Church, we will be encouraging to one another, Lord. We know that training up our children is not an easy task, because all of them are different, and they have different responses and different behaviors. But God, we only ask that you guide us. And for those who are older in the faith, who has been parents for many, many years, Lord, may they step out and be an encouragement to the younger parents and to teach them the way of the Lord, the way of righteousness, and to teach them the Bible way of training children, Lord, that we all might grow for your honor and glory. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.